We welcome you to our second Sunday in Lent. It's a beautiful day, and it's just nice to have everyone here. I just knew that because I think last year we had more people here than we've had since December of 2019. I don't know what happened in December of 2019, but we had more people last week. And I heard so many people tell me how wonderful they loved the sermon. I didn't preach. Webb did, and he did a wonderful job. And all I've had to do this morning are filled texts and phone calls of people who told me they weren't coming. So, but that's made up. He might have had a better quantity of people, but I've got a better quality of people. I've got people that where'd he go? Andy came back all the way from Moldova to be here. I don't know where he is now. He's had enough too. And it was good to see David and Beth back, and Joan and Dee and Bryce. And it's good to see some people, faces I haven't seen in a long time. So I hope that we will be blessed by being here today. A couple of announcements. You have noticed, and we haven't done it basically since we've been in this building, but we had Christ lead us in this morning because we are here because of the work of Jesus Christ. And during Lent especially, we want to focus upon that. And when you come down for communion today, please focus upon the crucifix, what Christ did for us. And also there's a little patch. I gave them out probably 8-9 years ago, but please take as many as you'd like. There's a little patch with a crucifix on it that you could put somewhere to remind you on a regular basis of what Christ did for all of us. A couple announcements. On the 26th of March, we are going to have a sort of a cleanup day. It should be a lot of fun because it's fun throwing stuff away in a big dumpster. But the two congregations that meet in this building, the Seventh-day Adventists and us, are going to join together after our service on the 26th. They're going to have a dumpster here. They will have already pre-marked with big X's things to throw away. So it's like a reverse Easter egg hunt. We'll walk through and anything that has an X on it, we are going to throw away. But I think it'll be a great time of fellowship because, as they see it, we are truly two congregations on the same side of the gospel and using this facility together. So it'll be a great time of fellowship. You'll also see in March, and Webb, if you want to say anything about this, March for the Christmas boxes we collect, what they call quality crafts. And I have no idea what that means. But in the description, they have pictures of wooden toys and a homemade stocking cap. So, Webb, do you have any more knowledge about what quality crafts are?
If I'm being honest, not really. I did want to say, if you've missed a month, it doesn't matter if the month's already gone. A few people have approached me this morning already and gave me stuff from the last few months. So if you missed a month and you still want to give, it's okay. Give what you can, when you can. I'm not really sure what the crafts are. I was thinking more like little miniature puzzles you put together and stuff like that. So I'll do a little more research.
Okay.
I probably should have already. But.
No problem. And then the other announcement is the week of Holy Week, which begins on Palm Sunday, but I would like beginning Monday, April the 3rd, through Saturday evening. I would like to have, and I've already picked the scriptures, we are going to have a Bible study each evening in Holy Week on a particular scripture that has reference to the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. So it will be a time to study that, and I'd like to do it each night. And I know that it would be a big commitment for anyone to choose to be at all of them, but I also would like to incorporate it with an opportunity for fellowship. So if you have a den or a great room or a living room that would seat probably 15 or 20 people and would be willing to host one of the evenings, so it'd be like a progressive type thing. If you're interested in hosting those, don't have to provide any food or anything, just open the door. We'll have the Bible study at your home that evening. And I think it'd be a great way to not only study the Bible, but get to know each other better too. So let me know if you're interested in that. I'll get you on the schedule. Any other announcements? Yes, sir.
Men's and women's group is at our house this week.
Yes. Men's and women's groups at 160 Kirkley Place. Carolyn is still recuperating. And that's a good segue into prayer requests if there are no other announcements. Prayer requests, we want to keep Carolyn in our prayers. She's doing well since her shoulder surgery. But still has some pain. We also want to keep Glenn Harvey in our prayers. He did very well in his surgery Friday, and he is home. So let's keep Glenn Harvey in your prayers. And also, we want to lift up in just our prayers, and I've got to tell you how joyous it is to pastor a group of loving and generous people, because we put out that robocall about helping Matt and Bethany, neighbors of the Bankies, and it's just flooded out there with people that have brought things in to help this family. So let's keep Matt and Bethany and their two sons, Seb and Ryder, in our prayers. Any other? Yes, Ann.
Well, thank you all so much, and I'm just going to say this was a bad day to bring anything from Arkansas, how much Trump's face. So. But I put a card up there. If you'd like to sign it, it's on the table.
Okay, there's a card for Matt and Bethany and their boys on the table. If you'd like just to sign it and write a note of encouragement. And she was saying that they don't have much trunk space for all those things. So I guess you'll just be making lots of multiple trips.
Yeah.
If any of you would like to help, we'll load up some of our vehicles and on our way home, take it by the Bankies if that's okay. So if you're willing to load up and on your way home, they live off of Timberlake Road, we'll just drop it at your house if that works. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Carrie. She's a real miracle, so let's continue to keep her in prayer. Paisley will keep her in prayer. Thank you for the update. Dave?
Hold my wife up in prayer for her knee and her hamstring, please.
Please keep B and Dave with your prayers as she's struggling with the knee replacement. From what I hear people say, they'll take multiple backs over one knee replacement. So I've never had it, but it must be painful. So keep them in prayer. Andy.
Thank you so much for everybody for helping out when I was away. I was able to visit the place where we supported financially, and you guys, to see true religion, the widows and the orphans and those who are ravaged by war getting help from your generous contribution. So the well as making an impact in the Church of Jesus Christ internationally. Great. So thank you so much. Yes, we just got to see the place where the Samaritan boxes were received.
Oh.
So the boxes we sent out last Christmas went to help specific children. They were just so overjoyed with just getting whatever they had and the gospel being preached. So it was so cool. I'm blessed to have you as part of my family.
Well, glad you were the boots on the ground there, and we're glad you're home safely. And I remind you, Fort Webb, we did 50 boxes last year, but the way we're structured, we will easily fill 300 boxes this year, and we'll have plenty of trunk space to transport. So we'll just thank you for your generosity. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
My husband, Dan, has been sick for the last 3 weeks with like a sinus infection thing. He was tested and it's not COVID or anything else, but they put him on a stronger antibiotic last week, and I think he had a reaction to it yesterday. I'm really not sure what happened, but he was a bit demented for about 15 minutes, and it was pretty scary for both of us. He may have been dehydrated, because that can happen to you when you're dehydrated, so I pushed fluids and he got better. And he was okay this morning. He did not take the medication last night or this morning on my advice that better leave that alone for a little bit. So if you would lift him up, he's preaching this morning at his two churches.
So thank you, Lisa. Let's keep Dan Dibble in our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Webb.
My grandma Sandy lives in Jacksonville. She's been in the hospital for about a week with COVID pneumonia, and she's on a breathing machine.
Sandy? And that's Charlie's mom?
It's actually my grandfather's second wife. He married her when I was a baby. She's always
okay.
My grandma.
Sandy, okay. Let's keep Sandy in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, Mom.
So, you know that my mother has Alzheimer's and we're trying to keep her at home. If you can imagine leaving this building and getting all the way to the end of the road as you're coming in, when she wanders that this week, that's how far she got. And it just so happened, the time she's wandered, I've been on my porch and I just see her. So I just running up the road, Mama, Mama, Mama. And she just says she's going home, but she doesn't know. She just doesn't know where she is, and this week has been very difficult. My dad just looked so weary yesterday. So just pray for my daddy giving her care. He's very, but she is really digressing.
Well, let's keep Sue in our prayers, and let's keep her dear husband, Ann Mona, and the whole family in our prayers. Agnes.
Margaret Hackett.
All right.
We have surgery on her knee for knee replacement.
That's
on Tuesday.
So Barbara Sackett, knee replacement.
Hackett.
March 7th. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Helen, as always.
Let's keep Helen Kinzer in our prayers. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious God, we come to you. Grateful that we can. Grateful that we have one who doesn't turn a deaf ear or is too busy or too apathetic. We're more, far more than just a number or even a name. But you called us friends. You sent your son to suffer and die that we could be one with you through him. So we're grateful that we have one who truly cares, who desires nothing from us other than our faith and our love, that and our belief that you are a good God. So we come and we cast these cares upon you, reminding ourselves of that wonderful passage that says that we are to cast our cares on you for the reason that you care for us. So care for these items, we pray. We thank you for just the wonderful progress that Paisley continue to be with her and her family, her parents. May she continue to be strengthened. We pray that you be with B, that her knee and the recovery process will move along with more progress and less pain. Be with both B and Dave as they walk this path together. We pray that you be with Helen Kinzer and just bless her. Whatever treatment path she takes, we just pray that your healing will work in her and in Dan. We pray that you would bless him in particular as he seeks to preach today, that he will have clarity of mind and confidence and strength. We pray that you be with Sandy, and she is in the hospital with COVID. We just pray that you'll strengthen and comfort her. We pray that you be with Carolyn and Glenn as they are recovering from surgery, and Barbara as she prepares for surgery. We pray that you would be with Sue. Be with Sue and the whole family. We know when we deal with different forms of dementia, it's just a challenge for the families involved. So we pray that your blessing would be upon them. We thank you for Matt and Bethany, and we just pray that you'll uphold them. May they know your love as they see it shown through your people. And just help us to be quick and ready servants to meet whatever needs they might have. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for being able to be generous and to give from that which we have been given. We pray that you will just have an opportunity to manifest your name through the missions activities that we're a part of. And may your name be honored and glorified throughout the world. We thank you for this. We ask all these things in your holy, precious name. Amen. As always, on the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new heart spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and hold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. You'll look with me to Psalm 121. We'll read this responsibly before we stand and sing our first hymn. I lift up my eyes into the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep.
Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
So the sun shall not strike by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe.
The Lord shall watch over you from morning to night, and from evening to dawn, from this time forth forevermore.
Thank you. 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai and his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar of the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, into the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We heard a great sermon last week. We really did. And I enjoyed it a whole lot better than this one, so hopefully you won't, but it was a good sermon about holding on to the faith even when you don't have full knowledge, for we never do. And it was delivered by one who is truly called. Now, you say, "Well, I thought Webb was general manager of a car dealership. Is he leaving that and becoming a pastor?" Not yet. But when I say he's called, let me explain to you, he's no more nor any less called than each one of you. Those of you who were claimed at baptism, you are called. Let me make a quick distinction between your vocare, which is Latin for calling, and your vocation. Sometimes they are the same. For me, my vocare, my calling, and my vocation are the same. For some of you in different fields, it may be the case. But for many people, how they earn their living and what gives them real joy and meaning and purpose in life are two different things. And we need to keep those distinct. The way we sometimes think of that is when we think, and some bulletins even say that, it'll say pastor and it'll list a person's name, and then it'll say ministers, and it'll be the entire congregation. For truly, all of you, all of us, have a calling. As Jesus said in John 10, that he is the good shepherd, but if you are a shepherd and you have no sheep, you're not a very good shepherd. So in order for him to be a shepherd, he has to have sheep, and we are the sheep, and he declares in John 10 that my sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. Your call is how you follow Christ. Abraham was not a pastor either. but he followed Christ, and he called. His faith was credited to him for righteousness, we read. Calvin says that Abraham is the pattern of good Christian discipleship or following God. So taking Calvin's lead, I'd like us to look at Genesis 12 and look at, I'm going to outline four elements of faithfully following our call, using the life of Abraham as a pattern. And because you know, I guess it's the Irish in me, I like to alliterate. I forced it quite simply at times to be all letter D, as in David. So the first element of following our call is it's dynamic. In verse 1 of Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Go, go." From the very beginning, the motion and movement of Scripture is an active one. It's a dynamic one. God is not static, and neither is our faith. The very first thing we see is God creating. And we know that God came, as we read in John 3. He came to us, and we are to go. And Abraham, we're told, left not knowing where he was going. Brothers and sisters, that takes some faith. I doubt very few of you have a spouse that if you came home and said, "We're moving, let's start packing," and you said, "Okay, where?" They say, "I don't really know. Let's just pack the U-Haul and we'll just start wandering." Very few of you would be able to do that with a hearty, "Okay, let's do it." It would probably be quite a discussion, and rightfully so. But Abraham left not knowing where he was going. The truth of the matter is, your call cannot be answered statically. It requires movement. Now, it may not, and it probably won't, require that you pack up and move to another location, but it probably will make you just walk across the room when you see someone at work or someone at a store, and you see that there's a sadness, or they look downtrodden. And you think, well, what should I do about that? What can I do? Well, the first thing you do is just walk across the room. Just be present. You can show up at the funeral and be supportive. You can do as you so wonderfully do and buy diapers and canned goods for a family we don't know at all. But it's the movement. And what our faith calls us to do is to fight that fear of walking across the room. I speak as someone who agrees with that, and I'm preaching to me because the introvert in me, I like keeping to myself. I don't like crossing the room. I sort of get nervous when people cross the room toward me, and I want to go down a different aisle. But our faith has us understand that none of us would be here if someone hadn't gone. If someone hadn't walked across the room, in fact, we wouldn't have a gospel message at all. If God Almighty, in that triune eternality, had not said, "We're going to span this gap. We're going to come to earth." So from the very beginning, we have to go. It's a dynamic faith. The second D we see is not only did Abraham go, he was directed by the word of God. In Genesis 12, verse 4, it says, "He went as the Lord had told him." He followed a word. We don't just go following some inner intuition. We don't follow the opinions of the crowd, the latest popular fad. We have a sure and steadfast word. We follow that. We have an objectivity. I would not want to go on a trip using faulty maps. I have a very, I call her my girlfriend, and Sherry knows about her. And she knows I'm extremely dedicated to my girlfriend. And I've not given her a name yet, because that sounds a little weird. But it's my Waze app on my telephone. And she even has an Australian voice, which I like. And I trust her explicitly. Even if I'm in the car with someone who's been where we're going 100 or 1,000 times, I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to listen to my girlfriend, because she's never led me astray. And when she speaks, I follow explicitly. And I will do it completely, because her word for me has never failed. In a far more truthful and faithful way, the word of God has never failed anymore. It cannot fail. It cannot be broken. It's eternal. If God's word failed, God would fail. And we have confidence in that. The word is our guide. The word is our comfort. The word is our hope when we don't have much direction and we don't have much hope and we have little comfort. I see often as I wake up through the night and I'll notice Sherry's not in bed and I'll find her reading her scripture. For it provides comfort. It provides security. And we are to be directed by our word, or the word of God. The other way it aligns us up is our calling will never go against the word of God. If you came to me and you said, Pastor, I have been called, the Spirit is leading me to help the church buy a building, and I am being led to embezzle money from my place of employment. I'm going to tell you, I appreciate your thought, but it may be something leading you to do it, but it's not a call from the Lord. Because our Lord is not schizophrenic. He won't call us to do something that goes against His stated word. So the word is our direction, and it was for Abraham. He went as he was told. The third component, not only is it dynamic and directed by the word, Abraham was devoted to prayer and worship. He was devoted to prayer and worship. We see in verse 8 of Genesis 12, he built an altar and he called on his name. This reminds us prayer and worship is that we are totally dependent upon God. This is not our work. Your following your call is not your work. This is not our church. God forbid it's not my church. It's not even our church. This is His church, and we are His body. And we therefore in prayer beseech the only one who can lead us. We go to prayer because that's the only place that we can find true help. Like Willie Sutton, when he was asked, why do you rob banks? And he responded, because that's where the money is. We pray and worship one God because that's the only place where there is help. As the psalmist said, we don't look our eyes unto the hill. We look to God. From God is our strength. Martin Luther said that keeps us humble. And in his commentary, it says, the saints do not see themselves as performing meritorious works, but we only pray for mercy and forgiveness. We see ourselves as just ordinary people who sin and falter and make more mistakes than we can remember. But God is the one working in all and through all. I wouldn't answer the call if there wasn't a God. I feel very much compassion for those who aren't devoted to prayer and worship. I feel very saddened by those who feel like if it's got to be, it's up to them. That's a terribly lonely and anxious path, to think that you're walking it alone. Can I get a good hearty amen, even if it's not spoken, that you're awfully glad that through the difficult times of life, you don't have to walk it alone. In fact, you don't have to walk it alone. You are carried by the loving God that we're devoted to. And then the final thing, we're destined. And Abraham was destined to be a blessing. We read in verse 2 and 3, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." We see this in Romans 4 as well. And see, the beautiful thing is, because it's not our work, it's not going to fail. I've heard self-help teachers and speakers say, "What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?" Well, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we have that confidence. Not that we're not going to fail, not that we're not going to stumble, not that we're not going to make mistakes, but we have that promise that even when we do, we have a God who works all things together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. See, if your work, your calling, your endeavors are going to be blessed, and the reason I know that is you already are. And that's the key I want you to understand. It's what enabled Abraham to leave and go, not knowing where he was going, because he knew he wasn't going toward a blessing. He was already blessed. Paul says in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," listen carefully, "who has blessed us," past tense, "in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." You are already blessed. It's not like, well, if you do well, if you do good, if you get to the end of the prize, then you're going to get a reward. That's not the way it works in God's economy, and that's why we have peace and joy and confidence and no anxiety. We're not going for the prize. He gives us the prize up front. We already have all the blessings. We already have his promise, never to leave or forsake us. We're not trying to earn his favor. We already have it in Christ Jesus. We just live expressing it. So it makes our answering the call not a chore that we're trying to earn, but an act of appreciation for what he's already done. We are incredibly blessed people already. All we're doing is following our particular call in life. So as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, others will see your good works, the Holy Spirit doing through you, and it will glorify your Father in heaven. That's all we do. Answering the call is just going out into this world, holding hands, and letting others know how good our Father is. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessing and thanks belong to you, promising God. You made the sands of the desert and the stars in the sky. And in Abraham you called the people to be a great nation, in whom all the families of the earth would find a blessing. In Jesus you raised up a new Abraham to be a blessing to all the people. In his death and resurrection, sin died and eternal life was born. And so we look forward to the fulfillment of your promise, rejoicing with you, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, singing your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Faithful God, in Jesus you fulfilled all righteousness. In him you turn our duty into joy and our sorrow into dancing. You give us new birth through water and the Spirit. Send down your Holy Spirit now, that your people may become a blessing to you and all the world, and that the bread of sustenance and the wine of celebration may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord, who the night in which he was betrayed took bread, gave you thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Generous God, you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son. Look now upon the places where your people are perishing, where they are being condemned, where they are being born under the shadow of disease and destruction and despair. Infuse your church with spirit and truth. Walk with your beloved people, the Jews, as they seek security, companionship, and freedom in your world. And fill your saints with the hope of eternal life, that all may come to praise your name, and every grain of sand and star in the sky be stirred with the wonders of your grace. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, I look forward and would encourage you too, because they create patterns in scriptures, certain words and phrases that through which we understand other things. Probably the three most important words ever uttered, not "I love you" or "I forgive you," but I would argue that the three most important words ever uttered for all eternity and for the particular problem or situation you're dealing with is our dear Lord's words, "It is finished." Done. We simply need to believe it so. And the Spirit, and this is just too good to be true, the Spirit enables us to believe it. So we just come and receive this finished work through whom we are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. So I invite, since it is the Lord's table and his work, all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and to receive his body and his blood for you. He is our Passover lamb. The feast is spread. We will have someone in the corner who will be able to offer a prayer for you as you come and receive, but also focus upon the cross and that it is finished for you. Let us keep the feast.
We thank you for supplying precisely what we need. Jesus Christ is the absolute satisfaction of every need, want, or desire for all of your creation. In Him, we live and move and have our being. We are eternally grateful for your gracious love shown to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship service with the final hymn of the morning.
Support that they offered for Kathy. She was in the hospital for a few, for a night, but everything seemed to be okay. So thank you again for all the support.
We are family, and we truly love Warner and Kathy and all of you. We support one another, and that's why we smile. Let us hear these blessed words. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.